What's the best way to reach young people with news? We have the answer. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away. Thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery or built-in front pocket, and they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. So the answer to reaching young people has always been go where they are, serve it up how they like it. Apparently, that's a lot harder to do than most organizations have been successful at right now. But that doesn't mean that they're not trying. And we've seen this over overseas in the UK. The BBC has been making some strides. And what are they doing? Hey, they're doing podcasting, you know, with sort of that's where young people are getting. They're not listening to radio. Well, some are listening to radio, but a lot of podcasting, or
they're actually talking to each other, Dan. And as you know, I do have a little experience in this particular subject since I started a company called Young Broadcasters of America over 10 years ago, recognizing the fact that if you give young people an opportunity or a platform to talk, and in some cases actually teach them to talk as opposed to text, okay,
yes.
They'll blow you away.
Yeah.
They'll blow you away
yeah.
with what they come up with, what their insights are, and it never ceases to amaze me.
Right. And it doesn't mean, because we're working to get young people engaged, it doesn't mean that they don't care about the news, that they don't care about the stories from around the world. They do care about all of these things. But it needs to be delivered to them, not in grandpa or grandma's way, but in...
From a peer.
From a peer.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And through a medium that they get.
Right.
And
I'll also take that to the next step, because I've seen this myself many times. When the young person goes and talks to an adult in an interview situation, the adult not necessarily lets down their guard, but is very comfortable talking to the young person because he doesn't feel threatened, because after all, he's acting like a media person, and
right.
you know those media people, man, they're bad. They're always out to get me or
yes,
whomever,
they are.
Right? They're looking for that sensational soundbite, right? As opposed to this young person who's really just getting an experience
right.
about talking to an adult in a educated manner.
Right. And the issue is, and we obviously love podcasting, and it is – I'm always amazed at how, if you look at sort of this generation gap – between the sort of the older folks who say, you know, I'm comfortable letting a radio station decide what to make me listen to, and this younger generation that thrives on on-demand.
I'm going to make my own station, darn
exactly.
it. I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. I want to hear what I want to hear. And
yep.
and I'm sure not going to listen to those grown-up people.
Exactly, yes.
Look at how they've screwed up the world.
They have.
Yes, we
and
have.
So the more that traditional news organizations can move into these areas where young people are, the more you're able to get them to understand what's going on in the world around, because they want to understand. They want to hear it. They just don't want to get it the way that we did. That's one reason you're seeing places like the BBC and other news organizations are moving into areas of sort of shorter videos. You know, we're used to give me my longer story with all the different, you know, texture of the story. But in this particular case, is give me a short video.
We call that McNews.
McNews.
McNews. Like McDonald's,
okay.
fast food.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
McNews made sense too, by the way.
Yeah.
We didn't need to give them a plug.
No,
I mean, you know,
it's McNews. Yeah.
It's more descriptive than a noun. Right?
Exactly.
Okay,
very good.
Thank
very,
you, very
Mr. English teacher
what?
Today.
Yeah, oh,
and,
my God.
But,
that's scary.
But I think it is, it's short videos and then posted it on places like Instagram. And then young people, either they can add their comments to it, they can upload their own photos or small videos, their reaction to it. It is amazing. And then they share it with each other. So it's no longer, you know, me, big newsman, send you information. You listen. Take it all in.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know,
yes,
it
sir,
is,
I will.
It is.
May I have some more?
It goes back to more? Yeah. Oliver, more?
Yes, you want more?
More. But it is really, as you were pointing out earlier, it's offering it up and then allowing them to share it with each other.
So this is a you mentioned this engaging with the content. This is a buzzword now in media and in advertising and marketing, is that engagement, the interactive. To me, and I've said this now, and I think you know, I've actually invested in a company that is based on the interactive experience with the live audience.
Right. Yeah.
And I really do believe that is the next wave that we are going to see in our culture. You already have it on Facebook.
Right.
People can write comments and say nasty things about us. They've done it.
Please, though, only say nice things about us today.
I'm a sensitive guy. I've been on the verge of emotional breakdowns for a while. This is really on the edge.
Tell him how great he is.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Yes,
that.
I don't care. I really don't care if people think I'm great or not.
Yeah. I do the same show, whether one person or a million. We talked about this. That being said, having that immediate... They want that immediate gratification.
They do.
And they want to know, hey, that's that story. This is what I think about that story.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they want my opinion or not, I have access now that I'm going to give you my opinion.
Right.
Because it's interactive. And that engaging process, it's really interesting what's happening here, Dan, because in my opinion, technology has put up a big wall between humans. We've lost interpersonal communication skills. You know, the ability to walk up to someone and have a conversation. First of all, you have to interrupt their one-on-one with their phone.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
and actually look them in the eye, talk to them, and have a conversation, maybe even find something that you have in common with that person.
Ooh.
Or learn about the differences of that person from your world a little bit and actually advance the human race a little bit here. But now it's going to be done through technology.
Right.
They're going to be able to hide behind their screens and their devices because, as you know, if you comment, you can comment under a pseudonym.
Right.
It doesn't have to be you. It's somebody else.
Right. But I think, you know, this is where...
And people get a lot of confidence and guts, by the way, when they don't have to identify who they really are.
Right. But I think, you know, this... I see this more as an open platform where young people can consume news. Not necessarily... I mean, they obviously will comment on it, but it's more of spreading news, legitimate news, not necessarily your editorial comment, but saying, hey, here's an interesting article that I found on you know, environmental issues. Here's an interesting article that I found on social justice. Here's a great video. I'm going to like this video on this. And it goes viral. And so I think is at the heart of this story is that we need to identify more and more ways to take the message, condense it, repackage it, you know, paint it a different way, whatever it is, but offer it to young people because they want it. They like it. We just have to give it to them in a way that they won't be turned off by it. Because clearly you look at the age, you know, of the people watching nightly news, it's probably like in the 60s. It keeps going up.
What's the matter with being in the 60s, Dan?
Oh, that's right. 70s. It's in the 70s. It's in the 70s. Right, right. Like sitting at home and watching the nightly
news. Not those old people in their 60s, Dan. I caught you there, didn't I?
No, yeah, you did catch me, actually. In the 50s.
Thank God my last name is Young, you know?
You will be forever young.
Yes, I am.
But
I appreciate that.
It's a good way for us. Every day that news organizations have their planning meetings, they need to take a step back and say, okay, how are we feeding our young people today? Are we trying to force feed them, or are we giving them some candy and some gum and some stuff that will make them consume it?
Okay, because I did happen to watch local news within the last week or so at some point. And fires, murders, kidnapping, these are all negative stories.
Nothing has changed there.
Don't you think as a child you'd be attracting a younger audience if you have a story about someone who saved somebody else's life?
Yeah.
Or an advancement in medicine. Or shorter books. We're going to be talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think? But again, will that drive ratings? Will that put money in the pockets of the companies?
And that's ultimately, I'm glad you brought that up, because
that drives content.
Right. And I think we keep doing what we're doing because it brings the numbers in. I think the best way to cause and force some of these news organizations to shift is to somehow make the numbers plummet.
Yep.
And when the numbers plummet, that's when they say, how can we do it differently to bring those numbers back up?
Just so you know, those numbers have plummeted decade to decade to decade.
They have, but there's still a lot of people watching
Correct.
The news. But
and same with newspapers.
Right,
They're still reading the newspapers.
Right.
You know, it's not as many as that were, But there's still people holding it and reading that newspaper. You know the company Life is Good? Of course you do.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Local here. It's a great story about a couple of guys from Needham, T-shirt guys. They had this great logo. And
now it's a brand.
And they have a foundation. And I've always talked to them about, why don't you create the Life is Good News program?
Right. Yeah. Well, there's one called Good News out west.
Right.
And they have that work. But it's still, you know what, Jimmy? It's a hard sell to only do good news.
Maybe we need to balance what we're doing.
There you go.
Maybe we need a balance.
It's the balance.
I know that story just brought you down. Here's an uplifting one.
No,
rather than leaving that uplifting one for the kicker.
That's
at
right.
the end of the news. As
no,
you know,
yeah.
we always you're always left the end of the news with a funny story or an uplifting human interest story, right?
Here's the beats and here's the treats.
Ooh, I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're good. Have you ever thought about being a career in media?
I'll think about
it.
Have
you ever written a book, by the way?
I have, actually.
And is it published yet?
It is published.
And
yes, it is out there.
Do we get to talk about that at all?
We will. I'm saving it up for a big reveal.
Even though
the book is out there already and it's selling nicely.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. I can say it's selling nicely.
Awesome.
Yeah, 50 Ways to Mega Crush Your Media Career. You can find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
And by the way, you're welcome.
Thank you. If you like this episode, let us know. Go and buy a copy of the book and then like it on Facebook. Use the hashtag BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. And we'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.